Good morning. This is great. What a great opportunity. Just like Joe was saying, this is a fantastic time to be a Christian. We get to exercise our faith. Finally, the rubber's going to meet the road. Are we going to go in fear? Are we going to live in fear? Are we going to exercise faith? Here it is, guys. This is a great time to be a Christian. The world needs a light like it's never needed a light before. The world needs hope like it's never needed it before, or at least in a long time. It's a great opportunity to be alive and to be a Christian. Now, I'm going to be talking today about Jesus, obviously, when he called himself, I am the vine, because we're in an I am series. And before I start, I want to set the record straight, because I love you. And I don't want you to be confused with wisdom and being scared. You see, all the big churches, we're having online services because we're shepherds of a flock. And some of the flock are elderly and easily able to take on diseases and sicknesses, which is something that's very real that's going on now. So on behalf of all the pastors of the big churches that used wisdom and we're doing services online, look, we're not scared. We're being wise. And listen, God is in control. I know what he's doing. You see, what the devil meant for harm, God is going to use for good. Now, church is being blasted on the airwaves all over the place, on everybody's phone. There's always crap on your phone all the time. Nothing, 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 nothing. Now it's going to be church, 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 and more church. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for expanding the kingdom. And I declare that many will get saved because of this. Tens of thousands of people will give their lives to Jesus because of this virus. And because you and me stood in faith, not fear. Amen? Let's get started. I'm on fire today, guys. All right. Listen, I'm going to be preaching out of the book of John today. John's gospel was written in about 80, 90 to 100, the last of the four gospels to be written. It is the most thorough, filling the gaps where the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, didn't cover. This fills in the gaps. It's great the way the gospels just bless each other. The purpose of this gospel is to confirm and secure the believer that Jesus Christ is the resurrected Messiah. He's ascended to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God. It's to secure our faith in that. Today we'll be in John 15, mostly, where Jesus reveals himself as I am the vine. Now, Jesus has just finished 3 years of ministry with his disciples, and he's taught them in several different ways. Through healing and miracles and parables, he has taught the disciples, like I said, in many different ways, in many different forms. But now where we pick it up in John 15 is they're at the Last Supper. You know, Jesus is literally on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to lay down his life. So everything that he's saying now is like lasered in. I mean, not that he was playing around before, but I mean, come on, it's go time. He knows he's about to leave. So, of course, he's going to give them and us the information like that we need. This is stuff that we're going to need to walk the walk until we're with him again, until he either comes back or we go see him. Now, Jesus, at the Last Supper, he's saying stuff like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's saying stuff like, hey, you know what, guys? I'm going to have to leave, but where I'm going are many mansions. He's basically saying, where I'm going, I'm going to prepare a home for you. You won't be homeless. I won't leave you as orphans. I got you, but I'm going. So you're going to freak. Don't freak. He says stuff like this: if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus is giving specific directions for how we are to be until he returns, because the disciples are tripping too. They're like, oh my gosh, I thought Jesus was going to be king, and then we would rule over Israel, and you know, he would get rid of all the bad guys, and everything would be cool. Sound familiar? It's not all pink clouds and rainbows. But what Jesus does say to these guys is, listen, I am going, but I will fill you with the power to walk out your life without fear. There'll be trials. There'll be pain. But I've overcome the world. You're just here but a short time. A life is but a vapor. Make it worth it, because eternity is so much longer. You see, this life here is on purpose, guys. We are going to be faced with adversity. This isn't the last time. Fear's going to want to crawl up on you. It's time that we get to exercise our faith. You see, the world doesn't know him. That's why people are freaking out, taking all the toilet paper. They don't know Jesus. I don't know why somebody would need 15 cases of toilet paper, but whatever. We do know Jesus. So what is going to keep me solid in my faith so I don't get scared when there's no more toilet paper to buy? Because, you know, hey, the grocery stores are empty right now. What's going to keep me from being afraid? I've talked to God about this, because fear's wanted to crawl up on me too. I'm always trying to be real with you guys. You don't think I've said, hey, God, there's no more groceries, and I'm standing in faith, okay? So I don't want to be that guy that can't feed his family because I was standing in faith and not freaking out. I'm believing that you're going to take care of me. You see, you can talk to God like that. You promised you would. You said I wouldn't beg for bread. You said I'd be the lender, not the receiver. So I have to stand on that, and I get to. My personal connection with Jesus Christ and your personal connection with Jesus Christ is what is going to keep you straight through this season and for the rest of your time here on earth, even in the good times. I mean, it's about being connected. So let's begin. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You see, Jesus establishes roles immediately. I am your source, and my Father makes the decisions. I'm the vine, he's the gardener. Verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You see, we are the branches. Jesus is the vine. He's the source. God is the gardener who's always looking to, for us, how he can, you know, trim us and prune us. Hey, Trials come. We exercise faith. That's pruning. We're getting pruned right now. This is called pruning because your flesh wants to be afraid. Your flesh wants to freak. But your spirit believes the word. Your spirit's connected to God. And if I, as a branch, am close to Jesus, I'm sipping off the vine. Jonesy, why ain't you freaking out about the coronavirus? Because I'm sipping off the vine. I'm sipping off the vine. Now, getting pruned can make you cringe a little because, let's face it, it's not fun. This season that we're in, you know, I wouldn't call it fun, but it's exciting. Now, let me explain how vines grow. You all know this, but right? The vine grows roots into rich soil, and it begins to grow. Now, usually, vines need like something to hold it up, a vertical, all right? So just for the sake of a visual, we'll call it a house, because the church of God is the house of God. Amen? So a vine grows, it begins to hold on to the house, and it grows up towards the light. Jesus uses this example of a vine and the branches because, I mean, he created it. He's literally using something that he created to talk about himself and explain how he works. It's beautiful. So the vine grows up and the branches grow out. It clings to the house, because the vine has little grips and it clings to the house. And it grows and it flourishes while God begins to prune. You see, the church will help hold you up. The church is always there for you while God's pruning you. We're all in this together. We are the church. I'm using this as an example because your brothers and sisters in Christ, we need. Man, if I get scared, I want you to pray for me. If fear starts to crawl up on me, pray for me, brothers and sisters. I'm praying for you. I'm praying, God, that God would change your perception, people. If somebody's watching this online and you ain't never met Jesus, let me change your perception about him today. Because you, my friend, don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't even have to be afraid to die. Because those in Jesus will spend eternity with him. Not sick, not sad. We won't be tripping on no virus. The new heaven and the new earth. It's going to be beautiful, my friend. But not just that, how about your life down here? Don't you want to have victory? Don't you want to be free? Free from yourself, free from other people, free from circumstances. Freedom. There's freedom in Jesus. There's freedom in perfect love. There's freedom in the presence of God. There's freedom in sipping off the vine. So there's as we go through our trials, as God begins to prune the branches, what he's really doing is he's exposing our hearts. What's inside your heart will come out when you get squished. And what comes out, not always good. That's why he prunes it. He takes the dead branches and he gets rid of them. But here's what happens. You see, the fruit that he's talking about is this, in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Meaning you can't fight these things. You can't beat these things because there is no way when you are operating in this fashion, there's nothing to fight. You can't fight love. You can't fight love. Love believes and accepts. Love is in, believes all truth. That's what happens. Like, that is what's going to happen through this, okay? Through this season of chaos, literal chaos out there. By you getting in your prayer closet, praying for those who don't know Jesus, being a light. If you do, you know, you're out and about, be the light of Jesus. Love on people. Don't be one of those people freaking. And I'm not even bagging on those that are in fear, man. I love you. And I pray that God will set you free from fear, that you will give your life to Jesus and turn towards Him, because you don't have to be afraid. I do. I pray for you and I bless you today. But my Christian brothers and sisters, listen. You are on a mission. This is opportunity. This is not by accident. This is part of it. This is our chapter. We're in it. We get to be the saints that rise up higher as the world goes down, as bad becomes good and good becomes bad. The saints rise up, and our praise and our worship and our light and the gospel and the words that we speak will be way more powerful. Way more powerful. This is one nation under God, and it will be again. Your trimming is called sanctification. And it's messy, and it hurts. And man, it don't matter where you are in Jesus. God has this beautiful way of showing you how desperately you need Him. No matter how long you've been walking with Him, no matter what kind of theologian you are, He exposes our hearts, and we're just like, oh, Lord. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. But Jesus says this to His disciples in John 15, verse 3 and 4. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You see, He's very clear right here. First, positionally, when you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you say, God, I need you. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and change me. And you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. You are clean. You're forgiven. You're born again. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Nothing you can do or can't do. From there on out, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are born again, my friend, and you will see eternity with Him. That's why Jesus says you're already clean. But check this out. Even though you're saved, you better remain in me as I remain in you, because you're going to need me. You're going to need to stay close to me. Why? Because you won't be able to bear love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control the way I want you to without me. In a godly way, not without Jesus. And let me tell you something. Maybe I'm just super selfish or whatever, but if I stop reading the Word, if I break off the vine and I go on my own, I stop worshiping, man, I don't know, man. I turn into that selfish, self-centered, angry, scared. I dry up. I'm still saved. I'm still going to heaven. But I'm dry. You cannot bear fruit of the Spirit by yourself. Now, I brought a little prop. I had a bunch of props, but they ain't going to work today. So I brought this. This is a branch. Now, I'm going to tell it to produce some fruit. Produce. Come on. Grow something. Okay, right? It's not going to grow. It's dead. So many times, we start out on the vine, right? We start out on the vine and everything's great. Man, I'm telling you, my time with Jesus, my private time with Jesus is on point, man. I'm waking up. I'm reading the Word. I get into worship, man. I'm so, like, locked in with God, and my life is so good. And then she comes along, or he comes along. And then they become your main focus. You see, what we do is we take Jesus off the altar, and we put Susie Cream Cheese up there. Or Rico Suave. And then we start worshiping up at that altar. Oh, please like me. I need you to like me. I need to be loved. I need to be whole. Fix me. Nobody can fix you but Jesus. Nobody could fix me. And Jesus is still busy at work. Amen. I got him going full time. But praise God, I ain't what I used to be, and I ain't near what I'm going to be, baby, because my best days are ahead. Just like yours, your best days are ahead of you. So we get derailed, right? Something really good happens, or something bad rocks us. And listen, I want to be very clear. Like, pulling back because your life got so rocked does not mean you're off the vine. I mean, if you stay on the vine and all you can do is say, Jesus, help me, you're on the vine. You're on the vine. So don't think that God would ever discard you or anything like that. He loves you and he holds you close and he hears you cry and he will heal you. He will heal your heart. And he will bless you. Don't give up. Don't give up. And Jesus says you're like dried up branches. Like I said before, God would never discard any one of us. But see, this is really no good for fruit. So what do we do with dry sticks? We toss them in the fire because we can't do nothing with them. That's what Jesus is saying. Stay close to me. Sip off the vine and you will be flourishing with low-hanging fruit in love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Sipping off the vine. The devil can't take your soul, so he'll settle with you thinking you're powerless, like a branch that is thrown and burned. He'll settle for you thinking you're just not good enough to share the hope of Jesus Christ. You're not good enough to hang out with those Christians. The devil would love to just keep you paralyzed. He's totally fine with that. He knows you're going to heaven. He can't do nothing about that. So he'll just make sure that you're worthless down here. He can't do that to you. Don't let him do that to you. He's a punk. The devil is a punk. So check this out. We all want breakthrough in our relationships and personally with the things we struggle with. We want breakthrough, right? Guys that are struggling with porn, maybe even some girls that are struggling with porn, or you're drinking or your drugs or whatever. You just want to stop. You just want to stop lying. You just want to stop yelling at your family. You just want to stop whatever you're doing. And you've tried and failed, tried and failed, tried and failed. I'm offering you a way, a new way, a way that it will work, and a way that will bless you, and a way that will give you breakthrough. We need to abide in the vine. You have to abide in Jesus. It's not a duty. It's not like, oh, well, listen, you got it. Okay. It's not like, okay, if you read the Bible five times and you say five prayers, then God will wave his magic wand and everything will be okay. It ain't like that. It ain't like that. I'm talking about a living relationship like I'm talking to you right now with Jesus all day long. He's with you all day. Stay connected to him all day. Talk to him all day. He loves it. Section out parts of your day to worship privately. He loves that. Section out part of your day to get into the Word. Why? Well, let me tell you. The reason why I'm not afraid today is because I've read the words of Jesus and they are planted so deep in my heart that when fear tries to crawl up on me, I start preaching at it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's where the miracle is, you guys. The miracle happens when we completely surrender to Jesus. We stay on the vine. We're staying connected. Like, we're just, listen, I want this. This is what I want. And I don't even know if I'm here yet, but man, I'm getting there. I want to be so soaked in the Spirit of God that if somebody with a coronavirus comes up and touches me, baby, I ain't getting sick. They're getting healed. That's what I want. That's where I'm going. I ain't scared. And neither should you. The miracle is when we soak in Jesus. We soak in the Spirit. We soak in the truth. Because the truth will set you free. It doesn't happen instantly either. This, you know, we want things fixed right now. You know, fix my marriage right now. Fix me right now. God never said, I'm your microwave and you are my popcorn. He never said that. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And the vine feeds the branches with sap. And it's a slow, and I'm not saying God can't do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Lord, I know you can and I know you do. I love you. But on the natch, he feeds us with that steady, the steady sap, staying connected to the vine, that steady flow, the steady flow, the steady flow of love, forgiveness, grace, mercy, kindness, all just the steady flow, the Word of God, the presence of God, just flowing in the Spirit. And then what does that do? Jesus goes into more detail. Let me pick it up again in verse 5. He says again, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, if you do, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Very specific. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. These are the words of Jesus right before he laid down his life for me and you. He laid it down and then picked it back up for me and for you. He didn't have to. He didn't have to defend it. He didn't have to defend himself against the devil. He smashed the devil. The devil's nothing. He did that for you and me because we didn't. He did that for you and me. What he is saying literally is, remain so close to me that I am constantly ministering to you. Stay close, so close to me that I'm the one whispering in your ear, that you can hear my voice and not all those other ones that want to tell you you're not good enough. You're not, you need this car, you need this credit card, you need this house to be okay. You need this girl or this guy or this body to be okay. Ah! Listen to your Father, because you know what? You're perfect. He made you perfect, perfectly imperfect. He's constantly ministering to us like sap to the branches of the vine. He says, let my word fill your mind and your heart in such a way that the fruit of the Spirit hang like bowling balls off your branches, like low-hanging fruit. You're so soaked in the Spirit. You're so soaked in the Word of God that kindness is just seeping off you. Self-control is just effortless. Help me with that, Lord. I'm getting there. That all those fruits of the Spirit are like low-hanging fruit when you're sipping off the vine. When you're sipping off the vine, man, there is no fear. When His Word is inside you, you draw off that. You draw off those scriptures that you read. You see, that's why we read the Word. So in times like this, we don't scramble. All we do is go, we just repeat it. We just speak to it. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Not some weapons, except for the coronavirus. No, all weapons formed against us shall prosper. Shall not prosper. Excuse me. God, help me, Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That is a scripture. Hold on to it in your heart. It will not take you out. John 15:8 says this. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Because, you see, this fruit doesn't come with pride. You won't wear it like you did something. This fruit comes with humbleness. This fruit comes with fighting the fight. This fruit comes with pain. This fruit comes with exercising faith, being scared and walking in faith anyway, speaking to that fear. This fruit, it comes from Jesus. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's the easiest to pick, because this world needs to pick some of that fruit. This world needs some of that in their lives. And the longer the journey that you journey with Jesus, the lower the fruit hangs. Because when you stay in the fight, trust me, you've fought enough. Just like David fought the bear, fought the lion before he fought Goliath. We'll continue to fight, and every fight that we fight, God knows. He's preparing us for something else. But I have confidence today that no matter what, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the deal. God calls the shots. He allows things to happen. I don't know why, but he does. It'll definitely bring him glory. He's definitely got a plan. He's definitely doing something magnificent. You see, storms may come, like I was talking about, that branch, the vine clinging to the house. The storms may come, and they may rock you, but when you're sipping off the vine, ain't no... See, you can't do this to a vine that's soaked, or a branch that is soaked. The branch may bend. Heck, the branch may do a scorpion and touch the back of his ears. But he will not break. Jesus is also saying that we dry up on our own. And how often are we drinking from the vine? Sundays? Are you getting your sip on Sundays? Right on. But you know you're dehydrated Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, right? You're getting dehydrated. You're drying out. How about every other Sunday? Ooh. Dry. And I'm not condemning you at all. I'm just sharing with you that, man, sip off the vine. Get with Jesus. I'm telling you. It's the best life ever. It's the best life ever. I have experienced freedom in such a way, like, because see, I've been so jacked up my whole life. I know dysfunction. I know fear. I know anger. I know that life. But ever since that I have been walking with Jesus and staying rooted and plugged into the vine, he's begun to change my mind and change my heart in ways I never would have figured out on my own. Never. Why? Because I'm selfish. But God's exposed my heart. And I went, ooh, I'm selfish. I don't want to be selfish anymore. I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be that. And as I begin to believe Him at His word and walk it out in my life, the fruit begin to pop up in my life. I begin to show kindness and gentleness. Yeah, gentle, right? Who would have thought? I'm experiencing freedom like I've never experienced before. Why? Because I'm free from you and I'm free from me. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free from circumstances. I'm free. I'm free from the coronavirus, guys. I'm free. I'm free because I'm sipping off the vine. I'm sipping off the vine. Now, as we grow up and we grow glory to glory, faith to faith, the vine is growing up towards the light. Yes, Jesus. We also grow out. Vines grow out. You see, and the beautiful thing about this is, as the vine grows out, you see, the vine can grow out over dead ground. Nobody's ever toiled it or nourished it or took care of it. That ground is dead. You see, a vine can grow over that dead ground because it gets its nourishment from the vine. The branches can grow out over dead ground in your life. You see, that vine brings life over the dead ground. Do you understand? You see, your relationships, you got family members that think you're nuts because you love Jesus. I get it. You can bring life to that relationship anyway. You'll bring life to your unsaved family and friends. You'll bring life over that ground. Now, I don't know. They may get saved. They may not get saved. I don't know. But you know what? You know what you're called to do and I'm called to do is love them. Love them and speak the truth in love to them. We can't save anybody. We can't change anybody. But we are called to be a light and we are called to love one another. Amen? So verse 9 through 11 says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this, so that my joy, Jesus says, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. You see, as the vine grows out, it brings life over to the ground that it gains. The branches get the fullness that the vine has and nourishes, even if they lay over dead ground that won't produce. You will have the joy of the Lord in the end. Complete joy in love and service. So let me just break this down for you real quick. You see, because I was in bed last night and I was like, what's the difference between happiness and joy? I looked it up. And there is a difference. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness is a feeling of bliss or intense pleasure. Joy is a stronger, less common feeling that only happens when we achieve selflessness to the point of personal sacrifice. That is joy. You see, we pour out. We stay connected to the vine. We sip off the vine. And then we pour it out. Why? Jesus has commanded us to do that. But he says this is the end result for you and I. That his joy, his selflessness to the point of personal sacrifice will be in us. And that our selflessness to the point of personal sacrifice will be complete. Do you get that? It will be complete joy. Well, what's your command that we're supposed to keep, Jesus? You said, if you obey my command, what is that? Verse 12. My command is this. Love each other. As I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. To lay down your life to serve. To serve a good king and his people. To serve a true, the one and only true God, the true king, King Jesus. And to serve his people well, that's a gift for you and I. Why? Because you know what? No matter what kind of virus or what kind of thing comes around the corner, you and I get complete joy through it. Oh, is it another opportunity for us to minister the truth? Yay! Because you know what? In the end, literally, we're all going to die someday, guys. I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid to die today. No way. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Come on. But until then, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. Even if you're a God hater watching this podcast, I love you. And in the name of Jesus, I hope I blasted your perception about God into a million pieces, because he loves you. And I know he's tugging on your heart today. It's time, my friend. Up and out. We grow, church, up and out. We have scars from the journey because there's pain. But we are on the vine together, and we're not alone. God the Father will guide, Jesus will be our supply, and the Holy Spirit will be our power. And the church, well, we're going to support each other. And remember what Jesus said. I'll end with this today. In verse 16, he says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." You see, Jesus says you can ask whatever you want, because he knows that if you and I are sipping off the vine, if we're sipping off the vine, we are going to pray correctly. We aren't going to pray selfish things. We're going to pray for things like wisdom. We're going to pray for things like our enemies. We're going to pray for our nation and our world right now. We're going to pray according to his will. That's why he says, ask me anything. Sip off the vine and ask me anything. I'm going to do it for you. Son, daughter, go. Make disciples. Shed your light. Love people. Go out there and love people. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Spirit of God, woman of God, man of God. Rise up. It's time for us. Let our praise be heard. Let our worship be heard louder than the naysayers. Turn off your TV. Throw your phone away and worship God. Thank you, Lord. We're in a really great time. And listen, I don't ever want to end a message without giving you an opportunity. Because I know there's at least one person that watched this today. That crazy tattooed guy. Really super loud, but at least, you know, I'm probably interesting to watch. I don't know. Anyway, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. I am that guy. Ex-con, violent, selfish, jerk. Jesus has changed my life, you guys. I encourage you, friend. So you've never given your life to Jesus. Today's the day. He's already tugging on your heart, and you know it. It's nothing to be embarrassed about or scared about. He's not going to turn you into kung fu and you got to walk the earth in your bare feet. Oh, he's going to work with you. He's going to change you. Oh, yeah. But it'll be the best thing you ever did. Or maybe you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you know that you haven't been living the right way, and you've basically walked off. You snapped off the vine a long time ago. I want to give you an opportunity just to get right again. Get back on the vine. That's the beautiful thing about God. He ain't kicking you off the vine. He welcomes you. Come back, son. Come back, daughter. Come back to me. Come back to freedom. Come back to love. Come back. Today's your opportunity. And it's not even the prayer that we're going to pray together. It's you surrendering your heart. But I'm going to pray with you, because it'll help the surrender. So if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or you have before but you want to rededicate yourself, say this prayer with me. Ready? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. I declare today, I turn from my old ways and I turn to you. God, I ask you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I ask you to baptize me in your Holy Spirit. And God, I just submit my mind and my heart to you today. And I declare, today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer and you meant it, you're born again, my friend. You're positionally on point for eternity. Now, get yourself in a good Bible-based church and get fed. I'd love to see you here at His place. But if you're far away, go find a church that will feed you good food. And get plugged in and sip off the vine. Now, church, I want to pray for you, all right? We're going out this week. We're going to be lights. We're going to exercise our faith. We're going to be a blessing in this season, okay? You with me? Father God, I thank you for your church. I thank you for what you did today in your people, God. And I thank you for the victory, God. Thank you for what you're doing through this season. We pray blessings over this world, Father. And I ask you to heal this land, God. In your name, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, heal our land, God. And bless your saints as they walk through this season like fire sticks, God. Bless them, anoint them, and empower them for your love and your ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. See you next week.